Well, this morning is our Faith Promise Sunday. We still have a couple of weeks left in this November month of missions here at New Life, but this really is the culmination of it all. Each missions service, ultimately the entire month, all of it to bring us to this moment, what we sense the Lord would have us to do in missions. Very specifically, what we sense the Lord would have us to do by way of our giving to missions. That's the Faith Promise. That's today, Faith Promise Sunday. If New Life is your church home, you know this. We believe in missions here. We believe that God's heart for people, His love for all, His desire that all would be saved, His heart should be our heart. We believe that ours is a calling to partner with Jesus in His ministry. Jesus came to destroy the devil's works. And as the Father sent Him, so Jesus sends us. And so then we go into all the world to find those that the enemy has taken captive, to rescue the perishing, to care for the dying. This is what we do. We go into all the world, every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every people group, every person, and proclaim Jesus so that wherever the devil has stolen life and brought darkness and death and destruction, Jesus can come and bring light and life. Jesus can come and destroy the devil's work. We believe as a people of Pentecost that we have been clothed with power from on high, so that we can be His witnesses wherever we live, wherever we go, and even to the uttermost parts of the world. We believe that ours is a call to preach the gospel and to advance His kingdom even over all the earth. We believe in missions here. We value missions here. We prioritize missions here. And everything that we would do here related then to missions, the reason we have missionaries come, the reason we have a month of missions, it's all done with the purpose that God would have opportunity to instill in our hearts a greater passion for missions, a greater priority, a greater value, a greater belief in mission, so that year by year, month by month, week by week, even day by day, our commitment, our dedication to missions would be even more, and our involvement in missions even greater. What does that look like? We would sort of identify missions by way of three things, three ways that you and I do missions, that we do missions together as a church. First, it's in praying. We're to be a people of prayer, even as the Lord taught us to pray, God, thy kingdom come. We pray that. We pray that His kingdom would come. We pray that His kingdom would come right here in our lives, in this place, in this church. We pray that His kingdom would come into our home and into our families. We pray that His kingdom would come into this community of Flushing, into this nation, over all the earth. We pray that His kingdom would grow and advance. We pray that revival would come. We pray that His Spirit would be poured out. We pray, God, thy will be done. God's will that none perish. We pray that. We pray that His will would be done. We pray that lives would be saved. Again, lives would be saved in our homes. Lives would be saved within our families. Lives would be saved in our neighborhood, in our community, in this nation, and across all the world. Next, missions is about going. And though certainly God could call you to go and to be a missionary elsewhere, you know that, right? You're sensitive to that, right? That God could call you to go. But because He hasn't yet, because all of us, we're still here for now, We tend to think of this going aspect of missions. We tend to think of that related to our call to be missionaries right here where we live, in our home, in our school, where we work, where we shop, where we eat out, right here, where we live, in these neighborhoods, in this community, and even in those communities within our reach. Until God calls us to leave here and go to another place and to another people, this going in missions, this is what God does to grow His kingdom through you. This is what God does to grow His kingdom through me, through us. It's you doing something. It's you volunteering. It's you serving. It's you helping. It's you loving people. It's you ministering to people. It's you telling people about Jesus, what He's done for you and what He would do for them. The call to go into all the world includes this part of the world, includes your part of the world. And so you go. Wherever you are, wherever you find yourself through the week, you go as a missionary sent there among those people, to that person, so that they can be His disciples too. Finally, missions is about giving. That's this morning. Let me share with you a few things related to missions giving here at New Life. Missions giving is an offering. I say that to say this, to remind you of this. Correct giving, scriptural giving, it's the tithe first. It's the offerings then that are given in addition to the tithe. The tithe is the Lord's. It's the 10%. Specifically, the 10% of your income that belongs to Him. Really, all of it is His. All of it belongs to Him. All you have, all you get, it's all from Him, and it all belongs to Him. The tithe, the 10%, is the only part He demands back from you. And we give Him that. Listen, according to Scripture, we rob God if we keep that for our own use. We steal from the Lord when we keep that to ourselves. So listen to me this morning. Hear me today. Don't keep that. Give that. Give that back to Him. Let me encourage you. Before anything related to missions, you need to make certain you are being obedient. You need to make certain you are being faithful in the tithe, in the 10% that He asks and that He demands from you. But with that, then this. You need to understand this morning equally as well that our giving to the Lord, that our giving to the work of the Lord, it doesn't stop there. Listen to me this morning. Giving doesn't end with the tithe. It, in fact, only just begins with it. We give the tithe. We're not going to rob from God after all. And with that, we give then our offerings as well. And again, just the reminder, just the clarification. This isn't the tithe. Giving an offering is not me dividing up or taking away from the 10% that is His. 10% of my $100 paycheck is $10. So I'll give $5 to this, and I'll give $2 to that, and the rest I'll count as the tithe. But no, that's not correct giving. We give the tithe, we give the 10% to Him, and we add to that our offerings. We give the 10% to the Lord, not dividing or taking from it. And we then add to that our giving to the building fund, to benevolence, our giving so that a dinner or two can be bought for one of the veterans at our military appreciation dinner. Our giving so that a Samaritan's Purse Christmas box can be filled and sent to some kid somewhere as a special gift for them. We give the tithe. We give the 10% to Him, not dividing or taking from it. And we add to that, we give in addition to that this morning, our offering, our giving to missions. We do that here by way of what we call the faith promise. It's the card I hope you received as you came in this morning. It's easy enough to see how it works. You fill out the one side, the larger side, what you've committed to give, whether you'll give that weekly or monthly. There's a place for you to include your information as well. If New Life has been your church home for any length of time, you know that here we turn those in by bringing them to the altar for those that are ready, for those that would sense that they already know what God is asking them to give. In a few minutes, you'll tear off that portion of the faith promise card and you'll have opportunity to bring it here and lay it at the altar. The other side, it's the smaller side, you keep that. Tuck it away in your Bible or your wallet or checkbook. It's the reminder for you, your commitment to give. Before we move on, let me reiterate, it's a faith promise. It's giving that happens by faith. If you think that you can't give, if you think that you can't afford it, if you think that you don't have any money to spare, you need the reminder this morning. But this is a faith promise. This is faith giving. This is having faith. This is trusting God that what He wants you to give, He will provide for you to give. It's because of this that we here at New Life believe that everyone can and everyone should give to missions. Jenny and I had our first service here at New Life August 5th, 2001. That November was all missions. The message began then and has continued since then. Everyone at New Life gives to missions because everyone at New Life can have faith to believe that God will provide what He asked you to give. If you think that you can give and know what to give because your checkbook has told you so, listen, you need the reminder as well. Oh, but this is a faith promise. This is faith giving. This isn't budgeting. This isn't crunching the numbers to see what works. This is hearing from God. This is having faith in God. This is trusting in God that He can help you, that He can enable you to give more than the checkbook, than the budget, than the numbers would ever allow or even be able to make sense of. This is why every year of missions giving includes this instruction. Don't fill out your faith promise before you first heard from the Lord. Let Him instruct you as to what to give. Let Him lead you in a cheerful generosity in your giving. Let Him challenge you in the sacrifice that He would ask you to make. This is what we say in missions. We have something to give. Or we have something to give up. That's why we can all of us give to missions. Let the Lord reveal that to you. Let the Lord reveal to you what you can give. Let the Lord reveal to you what you can give up so that you can give. Let Him encourage you to step out in faith, giving more even than you have to give, giving more than your budget would allow. It's a faith promise. After all, this morning, let me share with you three things that I hope, that I pray, that I believe would help us, encourage us, motivate us as we consider what our missions offering will be, as we consider what the Lord would have us to give by way of the faith promise throughout the coming year of 2022. One person has said this: God is a God of missions. He wills missions. He commands and he demands missions. It's true, isn't it? It's interesting, the story of Jonah. We discover this about the man, though he was God's man. Jonah was consumed by self. Jonah was consumed by selfish desires. To serve the Lord is to make him to be the Lord, but Jonah didn't want to do that. He wanted to be the ruler of his own life. He wanted to decide for himself what he would do, what he wouldn't do, where he would go, where he wouldn't go. Jonah was more concerned about his comfort than he was about others. Jonah was more concerned about his comfort than he was even the salvation of others. You remember the story at the very end of it, the shade for Jonah. But then the vine that provided the shade for him dies, and Jonah is upset. Jonah is angry. Jonah is more bothered by that than he is an entire city of people about to die and face an eternal judgment in an eternal hell. Be careful, dear brother, dear sister. The number one thing that gets in the way of missions, it's self. It's our selfish agenda. It's our selfish desires. We choose to be comfortable rather than to be involved. We choose to be comfortable rather than to go and make disciples. We choose to be comfortable rather than to give all that we have to give, even more above and beyond what we have to give. Jonah was consumed by self. Jonah was concerned only about his people. He was called to go and make disciples, if you will, to a people that were the enemies of God's people. And he didn't want to do it. You know the story. Initially, he outright refused to do it and ran from God. Really, it's true. Jonah didn't want some people to be saved. Jonah thought some people shouldn't be saved, didn't deserve to be saved. Jonah, again, though God's man, had missed God's heart. He'd missed God's heart for people, for all people. He'd missed God's plan for his own people, that they would be a light to the Gentiles, that through them, through their testimony, even all the world might be saved. Jonah knew that God loved Israel. Jonah knew that God favored Israel and set Israel apart. But Jonah forgot God loves the rest of the world as well. In the story of Jonah, we discover lots about the man and potentially some things about ourselves. Because full disclosure, listen to me, dear brother, dear sister, listen to me, New Life. More often than not, we can look a lot like Jonah. And that ought to concern us. That ought to make us nervous. That ought to bring us to a place of repentance. Oh, God, save me from a Jonah syndrome. We learn a lot about the man, and we discover this about God. In Jonah chapter 4 and verse 10, but the Lord said, you've been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend to it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left. Should I not be concerned about that great city? Whereas Jonah's concern is for self, God's concern is for the world, all the world, even the Ninevehs of the world. God is a God of missions because his heart is for all people. His desire is that all people be saved, that none be lost, that none perish. And so then his call upon us, his people, his disciples, to be like him. Just as he is a God of missions, so we are to be a people of missions. In Matthew chapter 4 in verse 19, Jesus' first words to his disciples, listen now. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. The very first thing that Jesus says to his disciples, In Matthew 28, the very last thing that Jesus says to his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Do you understand? The first thing, when Jesus first called his disciples, when he first called you, he called you to mission. He called you to go and be fishers of men. And the last thing, he called them and he calls us to mission, to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. It's the first, it's the last, and surely it's everything in between. The call to missions. One says this, Christianity is not a philosophy to embrace, but a mission to live out. Another says this, the supreme purpose of every true Christian church, the chief duty of every Christian minister, the main responsibility of every Christian layman is to present to all who may be reached in the clearest and most forceful way the basic facts of the gospel of Christ and to urge all who hear to make the definite personal response to these facts which God requires. To this, the supreme task, every other duty and activity of the church must be secondary and subsidiary. John Wesley said, the church has nothing to do but to save souls. Therefore, spend and be spent in this work. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news, healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. We are called to be those workers. We're not simply called to gather it here. Listen to me, dear brother, dear sister. Listen to me, church. Our calling is not simply to gather in here. Are we called together here? You better believe we are. And listen to me. Listen to the word of the Lord. Don't forsake this gathering. Make this a priority. Let everything else on your calendar submit to 10:30 to noon to be in the house of the Lord and to fellowship with other believers. We're not to neglect this, but you have to hear me today. Our calling is not simply to gather here. We are called equally as well to go out there. We're not simply called to meet here and enjoy our relationship with God. We're called to go out there and proclaim Jesus to those who have no relationship with God. Do you understand this morning? So much of our Christianity is consumed with our relationship with God. Are you good with God? Good. I hope you are. If you aren't, you need to work on that. You need to repent. You need to seek the Lord. You need to make sure that you're good with the Lord. But you have to hear me today. That's not the only question to be asked of you and me. But as well, what are you doing? What are you doing on this sort of horizontal level? What are you doing with your neighbor? What are you doing with a friend? What are you doing with a colleague? What are you doing to share your faith? You're good like this. You and God are good. That's great. But your neighbor is dying on their way to spend an eternity in hell. And you're the missionary called to reach them. So what are you doing here? What are you doing on this level? We're called to go out, have relationship with people, proclaim Jesus to people, to be a witness for Jesus to people, so that people can have a relationship with him. God is a God of missions. So then he calls us that we would be a people of missions. And more than that, more than just a call, his is a command to missions. Matthew 28, go. and make disciples of all nations. This then really brings us to our point. Our response to his call related to missions. This is his command to us. Our response, we simply obey. In John 14, Jesus says this, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." Our love for God compels us to live lives of obedience to God. Our love for him demands of us that we then obey him. Jesus says, you can't have one without the other. You can't say you love him, but then choose to not obey him. You can't separate the two. We do love him. And so we then do obey him. We don't go the way of Jonah. We don't make the mistake that he made. Jesus is our Lord. We submit our desires to his desire. We conform our mind and our will to his. We make our heart to be just like his. We love like he loves. And we desire just like he does that all people, whether from Nineveh or any other part of the planet, our concern is for them just like his is. And we desire that they be saved just like he desires. He's our Lord. And so then we obey him, no matter what he asks of us, no matter the commitment required of us, no matter what it takes, no matter the sacrifice. One author writes, a century ago, a band of brave souls became known as one-way missionaries. They purchased single tickets to the mission field without the return half. And instead of suitcases, they packed their few earthly belongings into coffins. As they sailed out of port, they waved goodbye to everyone they loved, everything they knew. They knew they'd never return home. A.W. Milne was one of these missionaries. He set sail for the South Pacific, knowing full well that the headhunters who lived there had martyred every missionary before him. Milne did not fear for his life because he had already died to himself. His coffin was packed. For 35 years, he lived among that tribe and loved them. When he died, tribe members buried him in the middle of their village and inscribed this epitaph on his tombstone. When he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness. The author concludes, when did we, as God's people, start believing that God only wants to send us to the safe places, to do the easy things. That faithfulness is simply holding the fort. That playing it safe is safe. That there is any greater privilege than sacrifice. He's our Lord. So then we obey him no matter what. We obey his call to go. One writes this, no one can be a disciple of Jesus and ignore the Great Commission or treat it as the Great Suggestion. The lack of a missionary emphasis is a spiritual death rattle for any pastor or church. It will be inexcusable on the day of judgment. We obey his call to go. We obey his call to go and make disciples of all nations. We obey his call to be witnesses here where we are, wherever we go, and even to the uttermost parts of the world. Watch this now. Therein the importance of our missions giving. Today's message, the faith promise. Consider for a moment. You can make disciples here, and so you should. Remember, missions is us. It's you and it's me. It's us together. Missions is right here. It's this community. All nations is this nation. All people is your people, your family, your friends, your circle of influence. Remember, you've been sent by God to those you encounter. Each and every one that you would encounter through any given day, through any given week, you have been sent by God so that you can be his witness to them. The question, though, becomes this. The command is to go into all the world. But how do we do that? As missionaries here where we live, we can make disciples here. But we're not there. We're not everywhere. We're not in all the nations. How then do we obey the command? Simply put, the command is impossible to fully obey unless you give. You can't go to every nation. You can't go to the uttermost parts of the world. You can't go to every people group. You can't go to every person unless you give. Because in the giving, you're sending. And in the sending, there's the obeying. Disciples are being made in all nations. This past year, you gave. Missionaries were sent. Watch this now. In Argentina, Burundi, Curacao, Mexico, Cambodia, Ireland, all of German-speaking Europe, the Philippines, Thailand, Japan, Korea, Togo, Nicaragua, Gambia, East Africa, Egypt, France, Poland, Botswana, Italy, Russia, Indonesia, Spain, the Sudan. By way of your giving, missionary would say, you didn't go, you couldn't go, not to all those places. You gave, and in your giving, missionaries were sent, and because they were, disciples were made all over the world. The command was obeyed. God is a missions God, and He calls us that we would be a people of missions. He commands us that we go and make disciples. And listen, if you love Jesus, you obey Him. And if you obey Him, which you will because you love Him, you'll give to missions so that you can obey Him completely, so that you can obey Him fully. You, by your giving, really can go into all the world and make disciples of all nations among all the people and all the people groups. He's our Lord, and we do love Him, don't we? And so we do obey Him. This morning, may you be encouraged. May you be strengthened. May your commitment, your dedication, your involvement in missions be greater than it's ever been before. May your giving to missions be more than it's ever been before. As you determine, no matter what He asks of you, no matter the cost, no matter the sacrifice, no matter anything, you're going to obey. By way of your giving, you're going to go into all the world. Along with the reminder of obedience, let me share with you this as well. Number two for us, the urgency. In 2 Peter chapter 3, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing. They will say, "Where is this coming He promised?" But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it laid bare. The story is told of a very antagonistic, atheistic professor at a university where each and every semester, each and every class, he would argue with, be belligerent and hostile towards any student that really expressed any sort of religious belief. Every semester, day one, lesson one, the professor would begin with his brand new class of students. If there is a God, may He prove Himself right now by striking me dead. And then he would stand in front of the class and he would wait and wait and wait until after a few minutes, announcing to them, setting the tone for the class, Do you see? There is no God. Until one wise Christian student responded, "You haven't proved, Professor, that God doesn't exist. You've only proved that He's merciful." He is a God of mercy. He is a God who is patient. He is God who's giving men and women all over this planet, your neighbor, your friend, your son, your daughter, He's giving them time to repent, to get right with Him. But listen to me this morning, and I know you know this, but you have to hear me today. Listen, but the day of the Lord will come for your son, for your daughter. You have to hear me this morning. For your neighbor, for your friend, His patience will come to an end. The Old Testament illustration is that of Noah and the ark. Listen to me. One day, the door is going to be shut. The day of the Lord will come. For 20 years now, we've set aside November as a month for missions. 20 years. For all 20, it's very probable, even likely, that every message in some way, shape, or form has included this sense of urgency. But listen to me, it's still true. The day of the Lord will come. The day of the Lord is coming. The door will be shut. Listen. And it will be too late. Jesus said it this way, the night is coming when no one can work. So we must do the work while it's still day. We must do the work with a sense of urgency because the night is coming. One says it this way, I look upon this world as a wrecked vessel. And it is. It's sinking and sinking fast. All around us, those that will not see tomorrow, that will drown in their unbelief. To face a holy and righteous God who will speak the words to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. And their eternal punishment in an eternal hell. I look upon this world as a wrecked vessel. And then he includes this, God has given me a lifeboat and said to me, save all you can. This morning, may you be encouraged. May you be strengthened. Your commitment, your dedication, your involvement in missions greater than it's ever been. May your giving to missions be more than it's ever been as you determine to do missions with a sense of urgency like you've never had before. Be challenged today. That's the obedience. Be motivated today. That's the urgency. And finally this morning, be encouraged today. Number three, and we finish this, the blessing. Colossians chapter 1, all over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing. That's the blessing. The kingdom of your King is ever expanding and ever growing because you're praying, because you're going where you can go and you're giving so that others can go where you can't. People's destiny, people's eternal destiny is being changed from darkness to light, from death to life. Listen to this from one of our missionaries. Three more Zanzibari young men have been added to the family of God. Not their real names. Andrew, Hudson, and Kent. Although young in the faith, they have counted the cost of following Jesus. Listen, each of them has suffered physically and emotionally, including disownings by their family, loss of jobs, kidnappings, even death threats. It's inspiring to see God miraculously protect them, rescue them, and show them His goodness, faithfulness, and love. One of the three young men said this, The man who surrenders to Christ exchanges a cruel slave driver for a kind and gentle master whose yoke is easy and whose burden is light. Another prayed with the church family for two others that had been kidnapped. And this is how he prayed. Father, we know that trials produce perseverance, and perseverance produces character. This is your way to produce character in us, and we accept it. The brothers met to discuss their own strategy for sharing about Jesus. Included in their conversation, they soberly talked about what they would do if one brother was killed and didn't return. Their response in light of such an outcome, sharing their faith, but to whom would we turn? Where else would we go? We have found the truth, and we cannot stop sharing Him. That's the blessing. That's what's happening around the world. Stories like that. Heaven being populated, eternity being changed, His kingdom growing. More than just that. One says this, as we pray for the loss of the world, the needs of missionaries and pastors, for the blessing of God upon our mission at schools, orphanages, as we give, it is as if we are sowing the seeds of God's love. And you know it. One of God's most immutable laws is that we reap what we sow. We sow in our praying. We sow in our giving. And we reap divine favor. We reach out in our giving. We reach out in our praying. And God reaches in with blessing. This morning, may you be encouraged. May you be strengthened. Your commitment, your dedication, your involvement in missions greater than it's ever been. Your giving to missions more than it's ever been. As you determine to sow more than you've ever sown, so that you might be more blessed than you've ever been blessed, and so that His kingdom might grow more than it's ever grown. On this Faith Promise Sunday, I leave you with this. Because you love Him, you obey Him. So then, what will you give? Because the hour is late. The day of the Lord is coming. Because there are multitudes still in the valley of decision. Loving all of them there, desiring that all, even still there, would be saved. Rather than God's judgment experience His love and His grace and His salvation. So then, what will you give? Because what you sow, you reap. What will you give? I pray it for us today, New Life, my brother, my sister, each one of us. May we today dedicate ourselves like never before to the work of God. May our passion for missions, our commitment to missions be ever increasing, our involvement in missions ever growing. And today, because it's Faith Promise Sunday, may the evidence of all that be found in our decision this morning. Oh, we will give extravagantly and generously. We will give. Father, would you help us in that? Lord, all of this that we pray, would you help us by your Spirit to be more committed than we've ever been? Would you help us to be more dedicated to missions than we've ever been? Would you help us to be more involved than we've ever been? Yes, each and every missions service. Yes, each and every missions outreach, as it were. Yes, the food distribution. Yes, the invite someone to church. Yes, sharing our faith to our neighbor, colleague, or friend that needs Jesus. Yes, all of that. Yes, to all the world. May you help us to be involved more than we've ever been involved in this morning, God. It's our Faith Promise Sunday. So, Lord, would you lay it on the hearts of your people by your Spirit? Would you speak to each one? And even, Lord, that it would be true that you would enable us, empower us, help us to give more than we've ever given. We ask for you to do that. We ask for you to help us. And Lord, we open our hearts this morning. We open our ears so that we would hear what you say to us. We will not be afraid. We will not shy away. We will not balk at the sacrifice that you would ask of us. We'll not walk away from the commitment. We'll not do like Jonah did. Lord, what you ask of us today, we will say yes. What you ask of this church, we will say yes. What you lay before us as a church, we will say yes. The open door that you present for us, we will say yes. Whether it's ministry to this community or it's a missionary going to some part of the world, we will say yes. We say yes to you and to your work and to the advancement of your kingdom. Help us, Lord, in that I pray. In Jesus' name. I pray this morning that all of us would surrender ourselves to him. Related to missions, because it is our month of missions, even in our faith promise giving, because it is faith promise Sunday. But I pray it in anything and everything related to your life. Listen to me, dear brother, dear sister. There's no better thing that you could ever do than to surrender yourself to him. All to Jesus. I surrender. Would you with me? All to Jesus. We freely give because we love him. Oh, ever we'll love him. Serve him. Be faithful to him. This week, pray for our missionary family. This week, go. Go and invite someone to come to church with you next Sunday. Go out there and tell somebody about Jesus. Go out there and let someone simply know what the Lord has done for you. And this morning, give. Don't forget the giving. Don't forget the going into all the world that comes by way of our giving. I pray you wouldn't forget that. I pray that you would do all three. And I pray the Lord's blessing on you as we finish this morning. Would you stand? Would you extend your hands to receive the blessing of the Lord this morning? I declare it over you today. I speak it over your life, each and every one of you in this place. On the authority of God's word, listen to me this morning. The Lord bless you and keep you. My brother, my sister, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Oh, that's good. For you, my brother, for you, my sister, I speak it over you on the authority of God's word that the Lord would be good to you this week and be gracious to you. And no matter what you're going through, no matter what difficulty, no matter the chaos, that the Lord, oh, your good, good Father, he would turn to you and he would give to you his peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, I speak this over you, his people. And would you receive that by saying amen? Amen and amen. We receive the blessing of the Lord today.